Welcome to the Mommy Mentor Podcast. This parenting bullshit is hard, am I right? From sleepless nights with newborns to sleepless nights with teens, from potty training to sending them off to college, I'm here to get you through it all as your mommy mentor. My name is Erin Kennedy Health, and I'm a registered nurse and a mom of three. I have professional experience with moms and babies as a postpartum nurse, which keeps the postpartum and newborn experience fresh in my mind. And I have 17 years of parenting experience as well. For information on this podcast and more, go to mommymentorpodcast.com. Parents, grab a cup of whatever you prefer and settle in for the next episode. Hello, Mommy Mentor audience. This is Lauren. She is a doctor, Dr. Pasqua. Is that correct?
Yep.
Perfect. I'm going to read a little bit about her for you. She is a founder and executive director of Connections Child and Family Center, a group mental health practice in Northwest Houston. She has 15 plus years of experience as a psychologist. She and her team of experienced clinicians provide counseling and evaluations for children and families locally across Texas. As a leader of CCFC, Dr. Pasqua focuses on training and mentoring the next generation of psychologists and therapists. She also has a focus on addressing the public health crisis of higher than national average of suicide rates in the local county. And Dr. Pasqua has led her team to create an adherent DBT programs for teens, first and only one in Northwest Houston.
Yeah.
Impressive. So this is a unique program that focuses on intensive outpatient support for teens with significant behavioral and emotional discontrol. Dr. Pasqua and her team are on a mission to help parents build a validating environment to support their teen in healthy coping and emotional resilience. And emotional resilience is something we definitely touched on when we talked a little bit before, the importance of emotional resilience and how certain practices can that we do as parents can hinder resilience. Can you elaborate on some common practices or behaviors that may diminish a child's natural resilience and the ability to tolerate distress?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, looking at it from the big picture can be a helpful place to start. I would say that most of us grow up thinking life is supposed to be linear, right? You go from point A to B to C to D. You get good grades, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, you have kids. That's most of our expectations and probably what we are expecting for our kids as well. But it turns out life is usually not linear, and it's more like, you know, up, down, sideways, back up and down again, right? So we know that in life, there are going to be a lot of difficult moments. There are going to be a lot of challenges to overcome. And that's what actually builds resilience, is having to go through those experiences. Mm-hmm. But what I find in my practice with many families over the years is that I think as a society, we've been given some false information, and that is that we should protect our children. We should make them feel happy at all costs and give them, you know, what we perceive, I think, is a wonderful life without any difficulties. Do you see that when you're speaking to parents? I imagine.
I definitely do it myself. I'm sitting here thinking to myself of how many times I have waited to tell my children something was happening until I knew it was for sure happening right before it happened, so that they weren't looking forward to it and disappointed when it, if
100%.
So right. I've definitely done that myself. Definitely.
I'm glad it's relatable. And
oh,
I
yeah. Completely.
Even I'm a parent myself. Yeah, we're all guilty of these things. And I think it's just maybe going to take a little mindset shifting to change that. Mm-hmm. So what we see is that, you know, kids actually come into the world with a lot of natural resilience, really that what we would consider the keys to resilience. They naturally like live in the moment, right? But little kids, they're just, what is happening right now? They're very present. They feel energized by everything around them. They are curious and feel good about themselves. They're self-confident. They don't worry what other people think. Mm-hmm. These are all kind of keys to being resilient, right? But somehow that gets lost during the way. They get zapped, so to speak, and replaced. And they go from being in the moment and enjoying what's happening right now to what if-ing. What if I get in trouble? What if I don't get a good grade? What if, what if I don't get into college? You know, all these what ifs. And they start to worry that they need to do something different to belong. They need to look like someone else. And so they start to camouflage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. They feel like they
Definitely.
need to hide their flaws to be accepted.
What I'm hearing is it's related to a lot of external situations that may hinder their natural resilience. So what I was thinking of is like, the example I gave, not, trying to prevent disappointment in all ways, shapes, and forms, but also there's external stimuli that is kind of hindering their natural resilience because, we're saying, society says fit in with the, and do this, and this is what kids your age are doing or liking, or this is what life is supposed to be like. And so that automatically kind of hinders the ability to be like, you know what, it's okay. This is a tough time, but I'm gonna get through it.
Right, I 100%. And I think just naturally, our culture, the way it is at this time in history, also isn't helping. So it's not just something that parents may do, but also just culturally, what we're all exposed to. We are living in a life of busyness. Scheduled, scheduled, we're scheduling ourselves, we're scheduling our kids, we're surrounded by social media that we're comparing ourselves to constantly to see where we measure up. And our kids do the same thing. We really become obsessed with this idea of perfection, that Pinterest-worthy life, right? And then alongside that, there is some tendency at times to bubble wrap our kids. And like again, going back to that feeling of needing to protect them from what we perceive to be dangers in the world.
Definitely.
And in doing those things, what's happening is that kids are feeling more disconnected from who they are, from being authentic and living in the moment. They're losing their internal guidance system.
I'm hearing you say like it's society hindering us as well, and how societal pressure and fitting in and how life should be linear. And what I'm wanting to understand is, does resilience play into that? So like if we were to less hinder a child's resilience, they would have a more successful life in ways of not caring if they fit in,
I see what you're saying.
or
Yeah,
not going from
absolutely.
A, B, C to D, and maybe it is a little all over the place. Is that what you're saying? That if they had that natural resilience, those situations would be easier?
They would be able to tolerate
Got
more
it.
easily the distress that comes with disappointment, that comes with unexpected changes,
I see.
that comes with loss, grief.
I see. I see. So all that basis of resilience that we can build when they're children will help them in the future when they look at social media and someone has a perfect life and they're a little jealous, but they'll be able to be like, you know, that's all right because I
Right.
also have a beautiful life.
Exactly. They learn how to use their internal GPS, their barometer, to decide if that's something I really want to put a lot of attention on. Is that really true, or does it really matter even what that person thinks of me?
Sure, of course, of course. And then you're able to go through those life situations that might be difficult, or like you said, you think you're going to go A, B, C, D, but a lot of the time you're going all over the place. And that can be really hard to cope with because in our society, where it's like, okay, you grow up, you graduate high school, you go to college, you get a good job, you get married, you have kids. And that's not the way life works for probably everyone, to be honest. But that's the life path that we're told that we should be taking. And
Right.
so when life doesn't happen that way, or when life doesn't happen a certain way that we expect, the fact that we have built resilience as children with natural disappointment of natural consequences, we will be healthier adults and able to deal with those, those bumps in the road a little bit easier. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And
Totally.
without falling apart and beginning to exhibit potentially even severe mental health issues, which are becoming more commonplace now in children and adolescents.
Sure. And in which ways do you see, I have mentioned my example of, making sure to not mention an event was happening until it was actually happening. I've stopped doing that. But probably because they're older now and I feel like they can deal with it. But when they were little, it was like, oh, don't let me break their little tiny heart.
Right.
What do you see kind of in maybe in your parenting, but in all like the families that you work with, just kind of examples of how we hinder our children's natural resilience?
And I want to just make sure to reiterate, like, this is not meant to indicate that parents are doing something wrong. I
Oh, of
think
course.
it always, in my opinion, comes from a place of truly loving and
Yes.
wanting to do what we think is best for our kids.
Exactly. Yeah, we're
Yeah.
totally honed in on protecting them. I know we sound like we're bashing parents right now, and that's not the point. What we're trying to do here is give parents the skills so that their children have more successful lives.
100%. And just maybe a shift in mindset a little bit,
Totally. Yep.
like reflecting a little bit, like you said, like, huh, maybe that wasn't the best thing that I was doing for my
Yeah.
kid.
Exactly. And like that's why I'm wondering that what examples could look like, because then that might help a parent go, oh, that is what I'm doing there, and that might not be the best solution.
Right. Well, I think one thing that I see a lot of parents do is jump in really quickly when they see their kid in any kind of emotional pain and immediately start reassuring them that you're okay, it's really fine, this isn't that big of a deal, you're gonna be okay. And we say things like, trust me, it's okay. But that doesn't really work. One, because maybe the parent doesn't actually have control and the kid knows that.
They're
They're
not
not, you know,
stupid.
silly. Like, they get
They
it. You
know.
actually have control of this, and I
Yes.
might not be okay. And it feels very invalidating, really, at the end of the day, to have someone
Exactly.
tell you you're fine when you don't feel fine.
Right. Yes. I actually just saw a video on Instagram the other day. It was a comedian, a stand-up comedian, talking about how he all his life didn't realize he had anxiety. And
Oh.
he's like, oh my God, I just thought I was being polite. And turns out I'm just like overly anxious and worried about what everyone else is gonna think. And he's like, and turns out that's all because, you know, and of course he's a comedian, so he's joking. But he's like, that's because someone told me you're fine when they should have given me a hug. And I'm like, oh my, has that happened to me? Has that happened to my children? I don't know. I hope not. Yeah,
I
and
mean, I
you.
think we all have those moments, of course.
Of course.
It's just so hard to see our children in pain. It's just really uncomfortable, even for us as parents, to tolerate our own distress at seeing our child in distress.
Exactly. And you almost
And then,
want to do anything to stop it.
absolutely, yes, absolutely. But when we tell them that, it might soothe them and momentarily, but that worry typically comes back, you know?
Yep.
And it doesn't actually help them learn how to get through a difficult moment, and realize they're going to be okay.
Yes, and that is such a huge skill to have in life. Just, oh my gosh, like I couldn't, hello, like every day there's a disappointment, you know, of maybe they ran out of your favorite food, or maybe your coffee is off, or maybe, you know, like something bigger happened and you had a fight with your partner, you know, like you're able to work through all those adversities and deal with them easier when you have that natural born resilience. So kind of letting your child fall, so to speak, and pick themselves back up. And of course, being there to help them when they look at you and say, hey, I need help.
Right.
But letting them feel the feels, get through the process,
Yeah. You got it.
understand that life is difficult and not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay.
Right.
And yeah, so here that is so smart. And that kind of plays into totally in our society because everybody gets, you know, the first place ribbon and everybody gets the sticker and everybody wins first place. And like, that's not how it works. Life is competitive and it's okay that it is competitive and it's okay that not everyone's the same or not everyone gets first place. We all have something to contribute. Just because we're not first place winners of something doesn't mean we're not going to be wonderful humans later. And being able to
Absolutely.
kind of like cope with those things. You know, I remember when I was in field day in school, I never got that first place ribbon and I always felt bad about it. But you know what? It taught me disappointment and how to deal with it and how to understand, you know what, Aaron, you're not the best athlete, but that's okay because you are XYZ and do other things very well.
Yes.
So,
Yeah,
yeah,
I think
that's.
that's a wonderful way to look at it, that we all have our strengths, we all have our challenges, and we should allow kids to shine where they can and learn how to tolerate it when they don't. One of
Definitely.
my clinicians that I work with at my practice had, she said this wonderful phrase that I just loved. I thought I would share it because it was just what you were speaking about made me think of it. And as you were saying, like, we have to let our kids go through it, right? And so she said, to a parent who was really struggling and like really frustrated and wanted their kid not to have these big feelings, instead of trying to pull your child out of the trenches, get down in there with them.
Oh, yes.
Get in the feelings, go through them with your child, learn to tolerate and pass through that wave of emotion together. And I think that's really one of the ways in which parents can provide more opportunities and support to build resilience.
Totally. That very much makes sense. Being able to say, I see you, I understand what you're going through, and I'm here if you need me to help you.
Right.
Yes, like being present, but not doing for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Being in those emotions with them and helping them to see that I can understand why you might feel this way given the circumstances.
All right. When we talked before, you had mentioned DBT or dialectical behavior therapy, and you utilize that in your workshops, your therapy sessions, your online modules. How does DBT specifically help parents and families building emotional resilience? And what are some key skills that you're teaching through this approach?
Yes. So DBT is both a set of skills that are taught in a certain set, order of modules, as well as a therapeutic intervention that can be used in individual or family sessions. In terms of how we work with parents and families on this, some of the things that we do are helping them learn new skills to change their mindset, to learn how to regulate their own emotions, how to tolerate distress or really painful experiences without doing something to make it worse.
Like, even as an adult, I'm like, yeah, you have a bad day, and you're like, I'm gonna go do something not incredibly destructive, but destructive. And like, that's for some reason what your body is like, I'm going to eat a pint of ice cream. Why?
Right.
You know, like, why is that? I love that that focuses on how to not make it worse, because sometimes as a stress response, we can just be like, oh, all bets are off. I'm gonna go do whatever, you
Yep.
know? So that is such a huge focus too, because obviously control is important and how you respond to your emotions and the problems and the things that come up for you are very incredibly huge. You had mentioned, I know that you're in Houston and we had talked before, and you primarily serve people or in your community, but online family therapy is an option in the state of Texas. Is that true?
Yes, and people can attend our virtual parent DBT skills class from anywhere.
Perfect. Perfect. Love that, because I'm always wanting to figure out how we can get people in touch across the world. And
Awesome.
then we touched on this as well. I love it. Validation, crucial aspect of parenting.
Yes.
And can you provide examples of what validation may look like in parenting and practical strategies that parents can implement to make sure that they're doing this effectively and having great interactions with their children?
Sure. So first, I like to sort of say, what are the main issues that get polarized? Parents and kids, parents and teenagers, where do you feel yourselves getting really stuck? Usually on opposite sides of an issue, right? Curfew, grades, computer time, friends, dating, all the things. And there's usually one, parents are on one side, kids are on the other side. And what we do is try to help both of them learn how to walk the middle path. One way to do that is through validation, and it's also through beginning to take a dialectical thinking process. So, considering both sides, both people's perspectives, because two things can be true at the same time. You can be right, and I can be right. We just have differing perspectives. Yeah.
Totally.
So, an example might be a parent who feels like, my teenager needs to begin their homework immediately when they get home because they think if they don't do it right then they'll never do it. And the teenager has this perspective of, I need to watch TV first to unwind. I've had a really long day. And then, I'll be able to get my homework done. And both of them actually might have valid perspectives,
Yes.
right? What we have to do, though, is to figure out how to help those parents acknowledge they understand the teen's perspective and the teen understands the parent's perspective and figure out where's the middle ground? How can we compromise? So some ways in which we might teach validation, as you stated, like some examples, right, would be through making statements like, Well, basically, validation first, let's define it. Maybe people don't even know what that means. It communicates to one person, another person, that your feelings, your thoughts, your actions all make sense and are understandable to you given a particular situation.
Right.
What I often find is that parents push back and they're like, but I don't agree. So I want to make sure to make the point that validation does not equal agreement.
It just means you can see the other person. You can like understand where they're coming from.
Right, that you can imagine what it must be like to have that viewpoint,
That
right? And you're
experience, yeah.
validating what's valid. You're not validating something that's not valid, right? So why validate? Because it shows that we're listening. It shows that
Yes.
we understand, that we care about the relationship, that we want to connect, and we don't want to judge. So it's a very powerful relationship building tool for anyone, but especially in parenting.
Okay. So like in the example that you mentioned with the teenager going doing the homework right away, one way to do that could be the parent says, I completely understand you've had, you've been at school all day, you've been working hard at school, and you want to decompress a little bit by watching TV before you do your homework. That I can understand and make sense. And then how would you kind of throw your, but however, mom is
And
concerned, and I like
yeah,
it.
so
So I'm like,
instead
are
of
we saying but, or are we saying and, or are we saying however? I love that. That's what I was like, what do we say next? And but, however, because
you
saying
got it.
but or however means I'm kind of negating what you said as less than what I think.
But if you
Okay.
say and, then it helps, like you're saying, to show that here's my perspective and I can see your perspective, right? We're going to verbalize both.
Okay.
And then maybe throwing out a, what do you think we should do?
Yeah, I like that. So just like very simple scripting. I'm trying to teach because my son, I'm very concerned about making sure he's in touch with his emotions as a boy in the society, but I'm like teaching him just basic like statements, fill in the blank. I feel blank because blank. And this is a very good scripting too. I see that you're feeling this. I can understand that. And I'm feeling this. What can we do about it? What can we do to compromise?
Compromise, or there's very collaboratively problem solve. It indicates I want to work together rather than dictate how things are going to go.
Sure.
So in terms of scripting, like some language, you said I see. It could be I notice. I can imagine you might feel, think, want, because.
Because of your frustrating day at school or your long day at school, and you come home, and then I'm expecting you to do more work. That's completely, I understand. I can see how that would be frustrating. So you validate the child's feelings and you say, this is my concern is that you'll get so involved in your Netflix documentary or whatever your series that you're watching, you'll get sucked in. And here we are, it's 9 o'clock at night, and now we haven't done our homework. That is mom's concern. How can we work together to make sure that both of our needs are met?
Collaborative problem solving.
That's
And
amazing.
then you're working together, you're thinking of a plan, which is really what we want kids to do. We want them to learn to think about, what are the possible outcomes or consequences of a choice, and how do I plan for that? How do I cope ahead? Really, so you're teaching them multiple life skills all within this one little interaction.
True, true. Because they're like able to say, see, also see someone else's feelings, their parents or whoever's having this conversation with them. And then they're, well, maybe because sometimes it's hard. I, being a parent of teenagers, I don't know that they always can see my point, but that's beside the point. And then you're saying, we have this issue that we both very much care about. And let's figure out how to solve it together. And therefore, it's not a struggle. It's not a battle. It's not a who's right, who's wrong. It's not a power struggle of I'm the authority figure as your parent and you're the child. You have to listen to what I say. And I'm sure there's a lot of parents listening that are like, that is not how we roll in my house. I am the parent and she is the child and she will do what I say.
And that might be true, but at the same time, how are you in that scenario preparing your child to make those decisions independently when you're not around to make it for them.
I
When they do go
agree.
off to college and they want to play video games with their friends and not study for their test.
Yes, how are you helping them to prioritize in the future and manage their life to decompress after a hard day, but also still take care of their responsibilities that they need to take care of? You've stated that this is probably going to be a little bit controversial, but I think it won't be controversial once you hear her explanation. Dr. Pasqua has said that she feels that parents' mental health can often be more important than their child's. This might be surprising for some of you to hear. Could you explain why you hold this belief and share some insights in how prioritizing parents' mental health and well-being ultimately benefits the entire family unit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as in my practice, I often find that parents are very concerned about their child. As we've been discussing, they really love their child. They don't want to see them in pain. They don't want to see them suffering, and are very willing and motivated to seek treatment for their child's emotional difficulties. But what I also find is, at the same time, they're often very resistant or willful to look at how their stress or their emotional functioning or their mental health could actually be contributing to the difficulties their child is experiencing. I mean, we have to consider that as the primary caregiver, we're responsible for meeting all of our kids' needs, and we are the main role model. And our kids know us better than anyone, better than even our partners.
They do.
And they really do respond and feed off of our energy.
I
And
agree.
that dynamic of stress transmission can increase a child's stress or their ability to tolerate their own difficulties if they see that mom or dad is having trouble tolerating stress, right?
Sure, yep.
It can lead to just overall more chaotic interactions in the home, which increase anxiety, increased depression, increased conflict. And I do really believe that adage of, you have to put on your own oxygen mask first, it applies to parenting, not just on an airplane.
I agree.
And if we are not caring for ourselves, if we're not prioritizing our own needs, then we're really not available to be the most present and supportive and responsive parent that we would want to be.
I fully agree. I just actually walked into the break room yesterday as a coworker was on the phone with her husband talking about how the job is stressful and it's the job, and she comes home and she's aware that she's not a great mom to her kids, and she's aware that the kids are recognizing that. And she said, I sat them down and I was like, look, guys, it's not you. It's my job. It's mommy's job. I'm sorry. I'm stressed out. I love you and I apologize that I'm acting like this and I'm trying to do better. And so think about all those bad days you've had at work, everyone. Like, bad day at work, have a fight with your partner, have a fight with one of your best friends, have a interaction at work with a coworker, or have an interaction with your boss at work, or just have anything stressful happen in your day. And if you don't have the wherewithal and the mental health skills to cope with that, you do come home and you do, it shows, like you carry it home. And as much as you like to leave what's at work or wherever, you're a whole person. So everything that happened to you that day is going to come into your future interactions. So having better mental health care for yourself and better mental health tools and making sure you're caring about your mental and emotional health realistically prevents mental and emotional health problems for your children. Because you're able to be a better role model. You're able to be a better parent and caregiver, and you're able to be more present in those moments and not the stressed out mom who comes home after work and had a hard day and now she's got to cook dinner and now she's got to get the kids to practice and da, 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 and you're rushing out and you're just having a horrible time. And that's not what you want, and it's not what the kids want either. So making sure you know how to cope and making sure you're using your mental health resources is key to ensuring that your children are okay.
And prioritizing that. Because I think a lot of parents know that they are stressed or that they're unhappy or they're anxious, but they still have this belief that my child comes first. So my time, My money, all my resources should be devoted to taking care of my child's needs. And our perspective is that that is true. And there's the
And
dialectic, right? If we can do both at the same time, or if you can take care of and get, yourself to a place where you feel more stable, you're going to be able to support your child in a better way.
I fully agree. I always am telling my patients, you can't pour from an empty cup, and that is parenting 101. You have to make sure you're doing okay, that you're well before your child's well. Think about, I can come up with a million of examples from myself and my parenting of moments where I knew that I wasn't the best because I had a bad day. And I know that we feel selfish as parents taking time for ourselves and saying, whether it be on a bubble bath, going out for coffee with a friend, spending an hour with a mental health therapist, spending your money and your insurance on a mental health therapist, seeking out different testing or medications that you might need. Those are all self-care things that are required that actually make you a better parent.
Yes.
I remember like taking trips with my bestie when I was, the girls were three. I hadn't had yet. And it's like, I knew even then I hated leaving them, but I knew I would be a better mom when I came back because I had time away and I had time with my friend. And so just like we take time for ourselves in that way, and that we can see that we deserve that coffee date or that movie night or that date night with our spouse, we also deserve to be well mental health and emotional health wise, because that will help you be so much of a better parent than any coffee or date night will.
I agree. And it sounds like you really have internalized something that I talk a lot to women about and to moms in particular, who often are the default caregiver, kind of like you were describing. And that is prioritizing and practicing self-compassion, being kind and recognizing it's okay to prioritize your own needs and well-being, giving
It
yourself
is.
permission.
Yes,
And
and
I think
it
that's what I hope parents take away from this conversation is here, if you were looking for a sign, here it is. Here's your permission.
to go do something for yourself.
Yes.
And something that's going to help you, not just, because people say self-care and they're thinking bubble baths and spa
Yep.
days and this and that.
Massages.
And yeah, and it's like, well, A, not everyone has the resources to go do a spa day, but B, it could be as simple as what is something you liked to do before you were a mom? Or what is something that you like to do by yourself? Or what is something that you could do that is just for you? It could be as simple as taking a walk outside every day.
Taking a walk is a great one.
Yeah. And it could be
Absolutely.
as simple as, listening to
Going
your
to bed
favorite
30
song.
minutes earlier.
Going to bed on time. We are always like pushing it out, working, working, working. The kids go to bed and we're up for hours. Could we go to bed on time? No.
Those dishes are going to be there.
Yes, you'll just
They're
do them
not walking
later.
off.
You'll do them later. No, so yes, totally prioritizing your mental health, and it can be in the smallest of ways that will help make changes in your parenting.
Yeah.
Perfect. I really appreciate your time, Dr. Pasqua. It's been a really good conversation. I think that my audience will learn a lot. And I
Oh, good.
really appreciate having you on and you sharing your expertise with us.
Thanks.
So,
Thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
yes, I've been having a good time talking with you. You have a lovely day, okay?
Okay, thanks. Take
You're
care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Everyone, thank you for joining me on that episode. We had such a good conversation with Dr. Pasqua. I am very hopeful that you will gain some knowledge and insight from this episode. You can find her at the Connections Family Center in Houston, Texas, and the website is connectionsfamilycenter.com. The Instagram is at connectionscfc. She is very passionate about providing high quality evidence-based treatment. In particular, she emphasizes the importance of treatment for the whole family to heal and grow. Parents are equipped with actionable skills and coached in managing and prioritizing their own mental health. As a mom of three and a business owner, Dr. Pasqua is known for her realistic and down-to-earth expectations for support of parents. If you can access her care, you should go check it out. And if you cannot access her care, you can possibly look into other mental health resources for your family or yourself nationally or wherever you live. And I encourage you, parents and caregivers, to always take care of yourselves first because you cannot pour from an empty cup. It is very tricky to be a caregiver of any kind. And often it is very tricky to be a mom when a lot of the time the mom is the primary caregiver. And sometimes she is a working mother as well. So that adds a whole layer of stress. And then if you're concerned about your child's mental and emotional well-being, that obviously adds a very great stressor to your family. So I really encourage you to reach out for family therapy, individual therapy, or therapy for your child. If you're wondering, how do I start this mental health journey for my child or myself or my family? A great place to start is with your primary care doctor. If you have one, you can ask them for a referral for a mental health specialist. To find your local mental health resources, you can go to NAMI.org and find the resources that are available in your state. You can also call the helpline for the National Alliance of Mental Illness, which is 800-950-6264, or you can text the helpline 62640. So if you're interested in finding mental health resources, the National Alliance for Mental Illness is a great place to start. And I highly encourage you to ensure that you are taking care of yourselves as caregivers and parents before you're taking care of your children. And I know that sounds opposite, but you can't pour from an empty cup. And Dr. Pasqua is exactly right. You have to put on your own oxygen mask first. In order to be good parents, we need to care for ourselves as well. I hope you are having a good whatever time of day you're listening. And you can find me on mommymentorpodcast.com or on Instagram at mymommymentor. You can also find me on TikTok at mymommymentor. I would really love more audience engagement, so please send me a DM or an email from my website. I would love to hear from you. If you have comments or questions or things that you would like talked about in an episode, please let me know. This podcast is for you. I want to make sure that we are meeting your needs. Well, mommies, have a good whatever time of day you're listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode.